The highlight of winter racing comes to fruition this Saturday at Aqueduct for the Cigar Mile. The stakes-filled card features the return of Maximum Security and a mandatory payout for the Empire Six, with a jackpot estimated to be worth over $525,000. Play the Empire Six on Saturday with Naira Bets. New Naira Bets members can earn a $200 new member bonus when they sign up with promo code MONEY19. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, at any time, anywhere. Remember to use that promo code MONEY19 when you sign up at NairaBets.com or through the Naira Bets app. Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Players Podcast for Cigar Mile Day. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again. Happy to be joined by my partner in crime in so many of these shows. He's the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. JK, what's up?
PTF, what's going on? I am camped out in a car right now. It's one of those days where I stick around Austin school because it's just too much of a hassle to head out and to come back. And so I just hang out. And so I usually post up in the public library and rent these little study rooms. And I'm in there. I just podcast from in there. But it was reserved today. So it was the car or a loud coffee shop. I went with the car.
I think that was a good decision, especially under these lo-fi surroundings. I promise we'll sound better next week. The new sound equipment's on its way, but I think I found a way to get some at least decent podcast content out there in the world. As he gets older, JK, you could consider doing a Rodney Dangerfield and going back to school. You could be taking classes while he's taking classes and, you know, you maybe get yourself another degree or something.
I just can't wait for him to be old enough to be put in an Uber by himself. And I know it's going to probably, I know I got a long way to go. They're going to call child services on me, which is like his new favorite thing to do now, by the way, Pete. When I like tell him he can't have ice cream, he says, I'm going to call child services. I don't know. What is it? 14?
I would think 13, you could put a kid in an Uber by themselves. We'll have to check with child services, but I would think my own parenting radar, I might even cheat it to 12. But 13, I think you're definitely good.
14 with a cell phone, I mean,
I guess that's what it's all about, is you would need to have them have their own cell phone to do that. So that gets down to your own parenting decision as far as when. Have you thought about this at all? Perrin asks all the time, like, when can I get my own phone? And I throw out some random number between 12 and 17, and she always, whatever I say, she always seems happy with it and never seems to remember. So I figure I can just kick the can down the line on having to make that decision. But I figure whenever that decision is, then they're good for the Uber. Just because, for obvious reasons, you know, you want them to, you don't want to send them in your Uber. They need to have that line of communication open.
Yeah, so Austin has his own iPad, and it was more of a necessity of Saratoga. Like, I needed my iPad for work, and if we were going to the track, I didn't want to, like, you know, have him just post it up, like, twiddling his thumbs like you did when you were a child.
Hey, I would have taken him around, but it was nice having him be able to play the occasional game as we did fun stuff when you were on the TV.
And so it's got cell service, so I can text him and FaceTime him with that.
Gotcha.
But,
oh,
you know,
great.
I don't really use that, and it's also big enough where it's hard to lose, and you don't have it in his pocket. I would imagine his, you know, the way that he is tech savvy, the way that I'm pretty tech savvy, I would see him getting a phone sooner. I also think it's probably easier mentally to get a boy a phone than it is to get a girl a phone, just because, you know, it's just, you know, that just that natural protectiveness that fathers have with their daughters and all that jazz. So I don't know, maybe 12 he'll probably get one, maybe even before that, we'll see.
We'll see what happens there. Normally on these shows, we go over the late pick five on a Naira Saturday. We're not doing that this show because we already did the entire pick six for this mandatory payout day over on the main show, the In the Money Players Podcast. We recommend you go and listen to that for the later races. On this show instead, we decide we do something that we don't get to do very often, which is look at the early pick five, which is a bet, JK, I know you typically spend a lot of time with. I feel like if you've handicapped, as long as you have anything resembling any kind of opinion, you're pretty much playing the early pick five at an Ira track.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite bets at Saratoga. Obviously, the races seem to be like a little. So they're usually like a 7-horse field, usually. So you can kind of manage that from a budget standpoint. It's also I'm still a racing fan, and so the idea that there's five races taking place that I could be participating in, and that I could try to solve that puzzle, rather than waiting for the late pick five or the late pick six or the late pick four or the stake race, it's great to be able to get involved. So, I love those early pick fives. It's kind of where the whole pick five thing started from in the first place. So it's always a lot of fun. So anytime I can play it, I'll play it, especially when they, like on Saturday, when they have stakes that are mixed in early.
Well, it is true. Normally, you can get a short field and maybe save a little bit of money. Not so on this Saturday. We've got, I think the shortest field is 9 runners, and we've got a couple of full fields. Hoping the weather cooperates in New York. It looks like it should, and we will be staying on the grass. But things start off with a 2-year-old maiden going a mile on the dirt, which makes this race interesting in and of itself. Where were you going to go here, JK?
Yeah, I thought this race was kind of tough. I think Onward is improving. The horse started without Lasix. Last two starts has had Lasix. Seems to be traveling in the right direction. Is going from the 7 furlongs to the 1 turn mile. I think that's going to be my top pick in here and the horse that I would probably press. But there's, King Meister broke a little bit slow last time, took money. That horse could obviously improve. I'm against Todd's horse to the far outside, the Donegal horse. That's always a dangerous thing for me when the green and yellow silk show up. But
I was going to say, single Donegal if you're off.
Fourth start, now moving to dirt. I just feel like Todd doesn't make that mistake. He's not going to run the horse 3 times on the turf and then suddenly, oh, here we go, let's try the dirt. So Onward's one that I'll build around. King Meister I'll use. Modernist I'll use. And First Degree, I'm a little bit cold on. If it was drawn a little bit better, I don't like the inside draw. So top pick Onward. Second choice would be King Meister.
We have it exactly the same, and I made the same notes as you. Onward, slowly improving for Clement. King Meister, one note I'll add is just being a half to strike power. I like that. Had the horror trip after taking money and the switch to the aggressive rider in Saez. I'm interested in all of that. And I actually do have a knock on the favorite, too, because cost basis looks tough on paper. But if you look at the form of that race, it makes me a bit nervous, JK, because the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th finishers have all come back and run at least 15 points worse figure-wise. Maybe there's a little bit of vulnerability there. Maybe we can get one of our two horses in. Anything else on this first race before we move it along to race number 2?
If you agree with that, which I do, this is a sequence you can really make some money in.
Yeah.
If you can beat Chad... a Chad favorite, morning line favorite in the first leg of a pick five, you are skating in the right direction.
And as we talk about all the time with the pick five, you know what? Let's say we're wrong. Chad wins by 3. We've all seen that movie before. Okay, let's come back and play the pick 4. I don't need to have what I perceive as an overbet Chad Brown horse in the first leg of a pick five that's not a carryover when I can just come back and play the pick 4. And the first race in that pick 4 is a stakes race, which is also kind of cool. We've got the Winter Memories going a mile and a 16th. I'll lead off on this one, JK, if you don't mind. I'm interested in Shelter Island in this one. Still had a great kick for home, even though the early fractions were strong. 6 works since. This is a spot where I do not want to fade Chad Brown. I looked up the number in Stats Racelens as well. Maiden special weight into a graded stake. Chad Brown, 8 for 35. That's 23% with a positive $2.18 ROI. I definitely want Shelter Island in this spot. But I don't think we necessarily have to single here. Who else do you like?
That's a really interesting stat. I mean, I guess that's what I thought it would be. And when I see stats like that, I'm always trying to say, what's the story telling you? And I think that's that you still have there's a little bit of meat on the bone with Chad when Chad's stepping one up for the first time.
Yep.
And it's your last chance to get some meat on the bone.
Probably.
And the rest of the, from there on, they're going to be 4-5. So you better grab them while you can. Yeah, I thought Shelter Island made the most sense. Ran well, like you mentioned, at Belmont. If you look at Shelter Island's works on XBTV, you'll see some nice workmates. Blowout, New and Improved, Magic Star, Olinden, all horses that have been participating in stakes races. So obviously feels like this is a stakes type. And in all honesty, when does Peter Brandt buy a horse that's not a stakes type horse for Chad Brown? So I thought that one made sense. Feel Glorious is another one who's been banging heads with some good ones. If you look at some of the horses that won the races that Feel Glorious was in, you're going to see a pretty big step up in class. New and Improved, Blowout, Regal Glory, Seek and Destroy. So those are other horses I think that make sense. And then Tuned for Grand Motion is another one. One first time U.S. Down at Keeneland. Didn't have the best trip either that day. Ran a nice figure. I think that horse will improve. So my two A horses will be Tuned and Shelter Island. And then I'll probably use some Bs with Feel Glorious. And also the other Clement to the outside, Sorrentina Limon.
I like your pronunciation there, JK. Let's move to race number 3. Claimer's going 7 furlongs on the dirt. What did you think in here?
I've stepped up my Claimer game as of late, and it's I think what taught me the lesson was Saratoga this summer, being on every day and having to talk in depth about these claiming races and really just not being able to dodge them. You know, what we've always done in the past, I've been able to dodge these races and talking about them because I got to talk about maiden 40s at the end of sequences, and I get to talk about stakes races. And so a lot of these types of races I never had to deal with until this year. The biggest thing that I will tell people is the first thing I do is I go through and I look at the last two races that they were in and what level those were and what price they were. And I don't look at pace figures. I don't look at figure. I don't look at result. I look at what was the level and what was their price. So if you look at Candy Promises, the last time Candy Promises won, horse was in for 40, open 40, and was 4-1 that day. Was in for 25 before that, was odds on. Was in for 20, was odds on. Now he's running in a race for 20. So his last three races, they bet him extremely heavy at levels that are higher or equal to this level. And that's a mental note that I take, and then I go on to the next horse. Winning Drive was in an open 10,000 and was odds on. He actually won that day. So he was supposed to win that open 10. So to me, that performance is downgraded. So he's going to be played because he's got the one. It's Jason Service. He won last time, but now he's facing 20s. He's facing a horse that was 4-1 in a 40. You see what I'm saying? So yep. I do that in a process as I'm handicapping it. And then I go back to my old school tricks of just like really actually looking at pace figures and figures. I like the 4. I'm an Ocala dude. I'm going to use 4. I'm an Ocala dude. The 1 Candy Promises. I don't love the rail draw there. Lucky Ramsey is one I'll save with just because he's been running at such high prices. I'm not crazy about the dirt though. The horses has had that dirt start in between when they claimed him from the Matisses. The Matisses always had him on the turf. Those guys love dirt racing. If they have a horse that's on the turf all the time, it's a turf horse. I think Lucky Ramsey might've been the general, not the Matisses, but Greg had the horse, but, that's a horse that you might want to save with just from a class standpoint, but I won't be using too heavy. My top pick's going to be an I'm Ocala dude from the last race. Was 8-1 that day, ran well that day, had the fast figure, and has figures in his past that will win this race.
Just to explain to people out there to whom it sounded like JK was just speaking another language, the general, close associate of the Matisse clan, sits out there in the backyard, owns some horses with Paul and Duke's brother Greg, the trainer in New York. I still think that logic holds. That a horse that Greg Matisse has that can run on dirt will probably be running on dirt, so that's an interesting angle to potentially fade there. I don't have a lot to add. I'm going to call a dude was my top pick as well. Loves the Big A. Four of the five wins here, including one off of a similar layoff. Exits a roughly run race last time in an effort that was probably better than it looks. It looks like a good trip stalking. We're 3 for 3 the same in here, JK. We may have to play this one together the way things are looking, unless you think I'd be a jinx to you.
No, never a jinx. Never a jinx. The more the merrier.
Let's move on to race number 4. It's the Autumn Days Stake. I'll go first this time as well. Fire Key to me, the most likely winner, and a lot of my play is going to run through her. Very simple case. Best numbers, projects a good stalking trip behind inferior speeds. Definitely one that I want to have on side. But I'll throw out a little bit of a goofier one that I came up with for kind of a fun old school angle. JC's Shooting Star. And this is more of a vertical underneath horse because I think JC's Shooting Star is going to be far back and have to make up a lot of ground. But I will use a little bit on top, and I would have completely missed this, but I was glancing at the career box. You know what the career box is, right?
Yes, the top right corner.
Exactly, top right corner of your PP. And I noticed that at this course and distance, 2-1-1-0, two starts, one first, one second, and a 94 best speed figure. And then in the other one, the one for, I can't remember which one was course and which one was distance at this point because I wrote notes, which was always a mistake. 6301 with a 94. Anyway, that led me to look way back in the PPs and see that that JC's Shooting Star had won this course and distance with a 94. Fire, that race would win this. I want a little JC's Shooting Star in the mix, but Fire Key is my main one in here. How do you see it?
I mean, I love Rose Flower for Christoph was closing into a slow pace last time and did it well going 7. Cuts back now, should get a little bit more real pace to run into. Gets Joel, one of the best off the pace runners that riders that we have in the country. So I like Rose Flower a lot. I'll be pressing up there a lot, and then I'm with you. I'm gonna kind of be all over the place, spreading outside of that, going to 6 furlongs. I thought Rocky Policy was interesting. Obviously needs to break a little bit better, but from that inside rail and having Javier, that could absolutely be the case. Broadway Run takes the blinkers off after the experiment last time with the blinkers, where didn't run very good at all. So I'll give Broadway Run another opportunity to run better. I like your argument with JC Shooting Star. Fire Key is another one that I'll use as well. And then Saratoga Treasure is kind of a saver type that I'll use. Has run well here at Aqueduct, has run well at the distance, and has run well in this form cycle. Has won 2 of his last 3 races since September. So obviously going in the right direction for David Donk, and gets that nice outside draw. So I'm going to use as many as I can in here, but my press is going to be Rose Flower.
Yeah, my only concern with Rose Flower was pace and maybe being too far back. But you make a great point. She overcame it last time. Maybe she can overcome it this time. I don't want to be beat by that one or by Christoph Clement in this spot. Let's move on to the pay leg, JK. Race number 5. It is a 2-year-old maiden on the dirt. We talked about this race on the other show. I'll let you recap your thoughts.
Yeah, this is a tricky race because if you haven't looked at the card yet for Aqueduct, the first thing I would do is I'd open it up and I'd go to race 5 because it's the most important race on the card. It closes out the pick 5 and it starts the pick 6. So there's some opportunities there for sure to do some things. If you're alive in the early pick 5, you can do a little saver pick 6 with your A opinions the rest of the way, using the horses that you're not alive to. There's a lot of cool things you can do if you can get alive to this point to kind of make some scores here. Look, default rate is, you know, obviously to get your attention. You see the Klarovich stables, you see the Chad Brown, you see the IRAD, but you also see the rail. With 6-1 on debut, so that's not really the most encouraging thing when Chad is not bet first out, but definitely is one that can get the job done. Mischief Afoot is another one that I'll be using for Jimmy Toner, a horse that seems to be traveling in the right direction. Gets the slight cutback from the 9 furlongs to the 1 turn mile. And then the other horse that we've talked about, I think on this show previously, was Tappage, the Godolphin, Kieran McLaughlin horse, who I had heard up at Saratoga was one of his good ones. Didn't think that he would be ready at Saratoga. Thought he'd need a little bit more time. This is his fourth start. And he's doing some different things that I think could help him realize his talent and what Kieran thought he was meant to be. He's adding the blinkers, which is a plus for a horse that has talent that might not be showing it. Maybe that'll help him focus. And then also he's cutting back a little bit from the 9 furlongs to the 1 turn mile. So a lot of things going in his favor. So Tappage is another one that I'll try to hook up at, which should be the third choice.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. You covered the ones that I wanted, including Tappage and Default Rate. I did go into it a little bit more on the other show, but I think that does it. We're going to keep this one very lean and mean. Huge day of racing at Aqueduct. I'm sure hoping I have action in every single one of the races between this early pick 5 that I know I want to play and certainly going to be playing that late pick 6. It's too late to sign up, but there's also a contest. We can follow that along. If they're sending out leaderboard updates, I'll try to amplify those on Twitter, and maybe depending on what the story is with that contest winner, maybe we'll have somebody on the show next week, or I'll try to write a little something for the Naira website. We'll see how that all goes. Any closing thought, JK, before we close out this edition of the show?
May you win all your photos.
You got me. That's my line. But we'll let you say it for real. But we're not quite going to say it yet, because I want to thank you, JK. I want to thank our sponsor, Naira Bets. I want to thank all of our fans for listening and making these shows so fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Coatney, supposedly. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital.
May you win all your photos. 'Cause I'm in a New York state of mind.
The highlight of winter racing comes to fruition this Saturday at Aqueduct for the Cigar Mile. The stakes-filled card features the return of Maximum Security and a mandatory payout for the Empire 6, with a jackpot estimated to be worth over $525,000. Play the Empire 6 on Saturday with Naira Bets. New Naira Bets members can earn a $200 new member bonus when they sign up with promo code MONEY19. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, at any time, anywhere. Remember to use that promo code MONEY19 when you sign up at NairaBets.com or through the Naira Bets app.